And try again. Oh, yeah. There we go. Well, we are live. Man, Brent, I was really looking forward to getting excited to talk about these 12-team playoffs. And listen, we still got college football, so it's good. And we still have time. I think when we expanded to 12, this is the first year doing it. You kind of knew you could have some matchups that weren't going to be very good. Shoot, for a number of years, we had a bunch of blowouts in semifinals. So, you know, depending on the year, but home crowds, huge advantage. Every home team advanced. Everybody had double-digit leads at halftime.
20. Everybody had 20-point lead in the game.
So not a lot of drama. Ohio State absolutely just finishing the night off, just bringing the energy and destroying. Ohio destroying. I know Tennessee fans showed up and showed out like there, but
they traveled.
Team didn't show up as much as the fans did with expectations. But listen, you had to have 12 teams, and you had to put 12 teams in. That's the way this works. So we're going to put 12 teams in, and I think you're going to have some of this in the future. But it's part of the business, and this wasn't the greatest, most exciting day, but I think the matchups coming up will excite some people and get you a little bit more jacked up.
Well, it's kind of like wild card weekend in the NFL. A lot of times it's
which is not always great, fun.
Right. It's not always the greatest games. And then you get to the next weekend and the quality of play ramps up. I think the biggest issue, and I just put this on Twitter a little bit ago, is if you just had, based on the rankings, you would have had Notre Dame and Clemson, Ohio State, Arizona State, Tennessee, SMU, Indiana, Boise State. I think you're going to get more comparable a little bit, at least.
How many of those games would have been super – How many of those games would have been super competitive?
I think Notre Dame Clemson would have been competitive. I think Indiana Boise State would have been competitive. Tennessee SMU, I actually think, would have been competitive. Yeah. But I still think
we thought these games were going to be competitive.
True.
I mean, we thought a lot of our games were going to be competitive too. And this is just what happens. And listen, this is why you want home field advantage. I mean, the atmospheres are awesome. It matters. The cold mattered. SMU absolutely stunk it up to start the day. And you could tell, man, like Jennings looked like he was cold. The ball was not going where he wanted the ball to go. Aller didn't have much success either. But, you know, Penn State's defense showed up. Their crowd showed up. I thought one of the tells of the game, Brent, was when you got Jennings going like this, holding his head. The broadcast, you couldn't hear it as well as I wanted to hear it, but with the crowd. But he's literally doing this. I'm like, don't do that. That's not good, because the fans are just going to get louder and louder, especially with that atmosphere. But Penn State, they owned SMU. I mean, they smashed them. They were averaging SMU 39 points a game, and they ate up the line of scrimmage. I thought SMU's – and again, I could actually pick all these games, Brent, and probably pick out a bunch of details that it doesn't get as bad. But the first possession, fourth down and one, Jennings has the first down if he runs it, tries to throw it. Listen, correct decision because the guy's wide open, really bad throw, way behind him. And again, that's what happens when your body's cold, right? Like your body's cold, you're not loose, you're not going to have the same range of motion. It's not going to all go as well. And that play, man, and that turnover, I thought really, really hurt SMU out the gates.
Well, and you think, you know, obviously I came on here last night and was just, you know, upset in a way about the style with which Indiana went at that game against Notre Dame. You can't say that about SMU. They came out with a plan. They came out aggressive, went forward on, you know, that's a going forward on fourth down. They're just, their quarterback just happened to be the best player on the field for the other team.
Hey.
Fortunately.
Ouch.
It's just. Like that,
geez, Brent, you're so rude. Hey, but you're right. Kevin Jennings had two completions to the other team, two touchdowns in the first half.
Two touchdowns not, to the other team did not work out. Like,
and I didn't think Penn State's offense. Game. SMU was doing a good job defensively. Yeah, they were giving them a chance to stay in the football game. If they don't make those mistakes, it would have been. I think that would have been obviously a more competitive game. It would have been fun, but
and then James Franklin says. James Franklin says, here, guys, would you like to make it a football game? I'm going to give you a chance to make it a football game.
Was that not the dumbest play of the day? It's 14-0, James. You're on your own 19. they haven't completed a pass to their team. They're throwing it to you. Your defense is very much settled in, and he goes for it. And then,
shoots it right back.
Listen, that one wasn't his fault. That was a lucky break. Good play. The other two, I could make a case were his fault, but that one wasn't his fault. But that was the kind of day for SMU. I thought Aller started a little bit shaky. I wanted to see more of him. I sent this out earlier, but like, he's got some weird decision making to me. Like he'll leave a good pocket when his eyes goes down, unless somebody crosses his path with his eyes, he's not going to see him. He is very risk averse, and that's why he's thrown very little interceptions throughout his career. But he's not going to be one of those guys that, like, Brent waits for that next window to open and fires it through. Like, he's going to kind of look, and if it's not there, he's going to take off. I mean, the 4th and 14 check down, I'm like, that's what are we doing? So I'm very much interested to see, you know, Penn State's offense and if they can continue to. They're going to have to be great. I mean, they're going to have to be better than just good to win this whole thing. And, you know, they were cold as well. But what did you think of Penn State's offense?
Tyler Warren is so difficult to tackle.
Yeah, like, he's Bowers. He's very Bowers-esque.
I don't think he was brought down on initial contact once the entirety of the game. And it's almost like he's toying with some of the defenders. Where he's just like, you kind of like got a little itch. I'm going to scratch it here. Get off, please. Like, I'm going to move on to the next guy.
And you know what that is, by the way? It's very, because I'm watching with my son Nicholas, who plays tight end and plays football, and I'm like, it's just patience. Like, he's not in a hurry to run himself into something. He's reading what's coming to him, and he's very comfortable with what's coming to him, and he never gets in a hurry. And because he's very explosive. And by the way, did you see that block when he put the dude in the end zone too? That was un-freaking believable. Like, if I couldn't love Ty Warren enough, that literally made my man crush go to, like, I need a picture on my wall. I mean, fires off the ball and drives him 20 yards absolutely down the field.
Through the end zone almost.
I mean, that was absolutely – that's just want to. That's what Brock Bowers did while you loved him. Brock Bowers threw his face in the fan, you know, like – it's one thing to catch passes. It's one thing to run the football. It's another thing to do the dirty work. And Ty Warren will do the dirty work too. And that's what makes this team. That's what makes this team go. He is the guy. He is the engine. He's the one who has to be the focal point. And otherwise, it's just not going to work.
One thing moving forward for Penn State, two things. One, I'm very much a Breshard Smith fan. Like, that kid's somebody's going to pick him in the later rounds of the NFL draft, and he's going to go be a good back receiver. You're probably going to put him on your fantasy team, that sort of thing. But the other thing is, SMU speed gave Penn State some problems on the outside. Like, they broke a lot of tackles, made a lot of cuts to get, you know, 8, 9, 10 yards when they only really should have got 3. And when you're getting ready to play the guy who breaks more tackles than anybody in the country, that might matter. So, you know,
well, and I think we wrote that down too. You know, the Penn State, you know, the coverage on the outside hasn't been elite. There's definitely been plays to be made. Could SMU speed and their system went out wide? But you also have to protect, and that's the other side of the coin. So as we spin that Carter forward, it'll be interesting. But Carter's an animal. I mean, that dude, and again, to me, it's when you watch that defense, dude, it's 11, 28 and 32 or 33. Like, it's Sutton and Carter and all those guys. Like, they just, they're twitchy. Like, they don't look as big as they are, but they penetrate, they make things happen. They're really tough to block, but the Penn State pass rush got home. They held up against the run. They pressured Jennings enough. They spooked him. Jennings started to try to leave good pockets, and they caught him. I mean, honestly, they could still catch him. That's what's kind of different about those guys. I think they got a bunch of guys that are super freaky athletic that'll go get them.
Very much so. But in the end,
let me ask you that question. Kind of
gave in.
I want to ask you the question right here that Eric asked. Okay. Are you sold on Aller?
As a playmaker, I think so. I'm more sold on him as a playmaker than I am as an in-structure QB. Like, yeah. He finds random ways to get people the ball, like dump downs, check downs after moving around for a little bit. Just it, like you said, it's a little odd. It's a little, I know they brought up Josh Allen's name on the TV broadcast, but it's kind of like that, yeah. Where it's, I mean, I don't see that getting
well
to and getting the to thing. There, but in terms of the style of play, yes.
Well, and Josh Allen wasn't that in college. Like, let's be honest. Josh Allen was accuracy was very spotty, very inconsistent, had the big, strong frame. Josh Allen looks like a much better athlete to me. Aller looks nimble enough, and he makes enough plays, but just pulling the trigger. You know, I feel like Josh Allen was okay making mistakes and making big mm-hmm. plays. Aller, I think, is the opposite. I don't think he wants to put the ball in harm's way, which ain't a bad thing. But
no.
I also don't think the receivers out wide can win very often. I just don't. Yeah. I think 44 is your one, your two. And then, you know, 10 and 13 out of the backfield are your next best options that they want to hit. I don't think there's a lot of guys that – they've had a bunch of guys in the past that we could go down a list that were really good out wide. They don't have that with Penn State, so I think that's a little bit of an issue for them. Where you want to go next, homie?
We'll move up the ladder. Texas, Clemson. That was I thought that was going to be an absolute dunking, and then Clemson fought back, and Cade Klubnik, tip of the cap to that dude, like just fought his tail off, made throw after throw. Great throws down the field, kept playing, kept fighting, gave him a chance. But in the end, like it was the question we talked about in the preview, can they slow down Texas's running game? Absolutely not.
No.
At all.
First, let's address the Cade Klubnik thing. Brent, I think he'll stay, and I think Cade Klubnik will be in the Heisman conversation next year. That's how good I think he is. Like
statistically, this year he was kind of there.
Dude, what he did to Texas? Texas gave up four touchdown passes all year. He had three, and he was dropping the deep ball in the bucket. Mm-hmm. He was making plays, and again, no run game to speak of. Mafah mm-hmm. has been MIA. I know I think he's got the shoulder injury. I love Clemson's plan, and I love how they adjusted and. They went RPOs and he got the ball out, which was very, very successful. They went spread empty. He ran the football. They even went wide receiver at running back because to try
the
to
Randall go, kid. He looks yeah, the Randall running zero, back too, by the way.
Zero personnel, which means we're thinking pass. Now you bring him into the backfield and he runs the football. But the lack of physicality, like the lack of meeting the physical challenge of Texas. If I'm a Clemson fan, I'm disappointed. I'm very disappointed. Like that's again, no bond. The playmakers on the outside still really they're not what Texas used to be, but the fact that they could get two backs over 100, shoot, at the end of the game, they put in Gibson, number 9. I ain't even seen him all year. And he started, you know, toting the rock. Like very, very, very frustrated with tackling an outside run game. We talked about it going into this game, Brent, and that's exactly what Texas did. They mm-hmm. attacked the edges, and what did Clemson do in the second half? They did a little better job by moving some bigger guys out wide to take, you know, to try to stop that. But corralling the football in Clemson's days, man, I just remember so much penetration and negative plays, and they don't have that on defense anymore.
No. And like from a Texas perspective, there was a stretch there of about 2 minutes where it was like, I mean, the right tackle and the running back got hurt on the same play, and then the interception and the center gets hurt on that one. I think the right tackle, he came back in for a minute, Williams, and then went out and
left again.
Wisner didn't play the rest of the half or played a little bit, but not really. The center didn't really play, but they saw him on the sideline. That's like those are big deals moving forward, but it was gonna, you know, I forget the exact score now, but that penalty on the blindside block when you could have had a pick six
when Mickens had the pick six,
and you only get three. That's just you can't pull upsets if you do those things.
Yeah. And he got the head across, but it was a blindside. But he didn't have a running start or anything like that. I thought it was kind of a bad call, honestly. I thought it was a pretty good block. It wasn't like it was a massive running head start and he depleted him. He hit him pretty hard, yes, but that's also the game of football. But no, you're right, though.
Late stop. So Texas made the fourth down stop. Third and fourth down stop, not just because it was third and goal from like the two. Stop clock on like a speed option where he kept it, and then
But that's the game. That's the game for Clemson is, I'm not physical enough to run the football, and I'm not physical enough to stop the run. That's a bad combination, man. Like that is, that's the easiest thing for people to get up into and get into formations and do. Like you got to at least, especially with their secondary, man, because Hampton came on as a freshman, and I thought Terrell was unbelievable. And that's what you end up doing is just giving up run after run after run, and it's just it's got to be frustrating if I'm a Clemson fan to watch me get beat like that physically, and to not being where I'm supposed to be, not corralling the football. Like those are things that you can control.
The other part for Texas, we talked about weapons on the outside. Watching Gunner, like the more they get the ball to Gunner Helm, the better their offense is, because like I remember standing beside that guy on the field at the SEC championship game. He is
a big boy,
enormous and athletic, catches the ball well. Like he's there to me, he's by far their best receiving option. Golden had the big SEC championship game, but there's still some inconsistencies there. But now they get to go to Arizona State or get to play Arizona State and the 4-5 matchup. And in terms of physical, they get to find they get to deal with Scataboo. That should be fun for them.
And both these squads are, you know, basically built themselves on the running game the last part of the season. And they're like, that's what we are. That's who we are. That's what we're going to do. But it's interesting, man, because the seedings like it is, I think we might be inclined for some more blowouts. That's what it does too, is the next round. I think it makes you, it makes that chance to be there. Cause how does Arizona State hang with Texas? I mean, immediate reaction, Scataboo's going to have to be big, but that's what Texas is. Texas has girth and size and physicality. Like they don't have to commit a bunch of guys to the passing game. They play zone. They play. I mean, that's a tough, tall task for Arizona State. They're rested. Yep. They had an extra week. I think he's elite. Dillingham is really, really good, but that's a tough matchup going to play Texas because of the skill at every level of the defense, the tackling at every level of defense. Scataboo lives in missed tackles and making those plays. Texas don't miss a lot of tackles, man. You watch them consistently, dude. The first guy gets them on the ground. I think they're the best tackling team I've seen in the country this year. That's how good they've been.
And I love the simplicity of their defense.
Not a lot to it.
No, it's not really. It's just I'm going to be here and then just go be physical and play fast and see ball, get ball kind of stuff. It's not a lot of – like you watch Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame is simple in a way because they play a lot of man, but the way they bring all kinds of different blitzes. Texas is like, hey, our four guys are going to get you. Occasionally we'll break somebody, but our four guys are going to get to you eventually.
And we're going to run you down at linebacker. I mean, the speed at which they play at linebacker is – and the vision in which they play in the back end.
Hill made a great play early in the game where Clemson's trying to get something and had a third and long, and he chased down Moffa, pushed Moffa out that killed the drive where Clemson could have had some momentum. But it was quite evident early on that how Clemson was attacking Texas was not necessarily sustainable versus how Texas – was winning and attacking Clemson.
Hey, the first drive, though, Clemson, you talk about coming out with a plan and being ready, dude. Like, they go 75 yards that first drive and get a touchdown, and you're like, wait a minute, against one of the best defenses in the country? Like, maybe the best defense in the country, and they made that look pretty dang easy, like throwing the football, having success. And then I wrote it down. Then it was punt, fumble, INT. Like, it was literally nothing for a long time because of that, because I think of the experience with Texas and their ability to adjust. It's definitely, it's a fun unit to watch. But Klubnik, man, I still think Clemson then Clemson has their dude that can be elite of elite next year.
And all those receivers are coming back.
Like all of them.
Two freshmen, one sophomore, I think, or three freshmen, one sophomore. So it's just a matter of getting more physical and putting themselves in. By the way, they've already done it. I think I saw one or two, maybe, portal additions for Clemson. I don't know if you saw that. I mean, I can't remember the names. But
that's one or two more than they've had the last several years. That they listen, that they've looked at people in the portal, like they're not unwilling to go to the portal, but they are unwilling to budge on what kind of people that they bring into their program. Mm-hmm. They offer like way less than every team in the country. Clemson's style is their style. They want a specific type of kid. And I mean, kudos to them because they've been successful and they're doing it their way. But you know, there is gaps in recruiting, man, when people leave and stuff too now in this portal era. Like, it's going to happen. And I'm just telling you, it's not crazy, Brent. Like, there's going to be most of these classes of these big elite level, high level teams, like a Georgia, for example. Georgia's going to sign 20 plus people out of the portal. Like, probably going to sign 30 plus people out of the portal.
Because like, that's just many are going to leave.
Correct. That is the way it is. Like, you're seeing guys that are going to go play for other teams, so you got to be able to do the same thing. So Clemson needs to look at that a little bit differently. Go out and get some guys. Listen, here's the deal with the portal. Y'all know what the deal with the portal is? Bottom line is people are getting paid out the yin yang in the portal. Like, that's the way it works. Literally, you got backup guys getting $300,000. Like, just there's a lot of money being forked out, and it's just whether you want to do that or not. Not knowing the character of the person, not knowing why they're transferring, not having been around them. That's why I think Cignetti worked well with knowing all the James Madison kids. That's why Rhett Lashley worked well with SMU, knowing all the Miami kids. Like, unless you have intimate knowledge, it's really, really hard to make that a seamless, effortless, you know, bring it on in, let's do this, and all go in the same direction.
It's like free agency in the NFL. You got to overpay.
Yeah.
Quite simple. I will say one shout out, I think, for the Clemson faithful, and it doesn't hurt that we personally know him, but their offensive line protected Klubnik really well in that game.
Especially considering they've been beat up to crap the whole year.
Yes.
Like, it's been a rotating cavalcade of guys up front, and finding healthy bodies has been hard. But I also think the system, Riley deserves a lot of credit. The system was really good in what they did. I mean, they did an unbelievable job. Another team that did an unbelievable job, Brent, like Ohio State was ready. Ohio State's plan, when you talk about Indiana not having a plan and you being frustrated, Ohio State was the antithesis. Like, all the false keys and the false pulls against Tennessee backers were flying themselves right out of position. Like, unbelievable job diagnosing on the outside. If I got four and he's on an island, I'm throwing him the football. Great idea. Will Howard played exceptionally well. He dropped some balls in the absolute bucket. But again, here's what I saw with Will Howard, why I say coaching. It was very quick. It was very decisive. He knew exactly where he was going with the football. They got good matchups. They manipulated zones. They knew what Tennessee would drop in and how deep they would drop and worked underneath and got their ball to their freak shows. Like, it was masterful.
And the biggest thing of that game, two things. One is, I don't think Tennessee ever quite warmed up after coming out on the field with the shirts off. Everyone had their shirts off. Like, that's kind of just not bright to me. That I wouldn't.
It's a tough guy move. Tough guy move. I mean, I'm not cold. You're cold.
No, that's. I wouldn't do that.
By the way, in the NFL, when they did that, I first year in Cincinnati, when the guys wore all the short sleeves and stuff, they just coat themselves in Vaseline to stay warm. And I was like, what are you doing? They're like, it kind of closes your pores. I'm like, absolutely not. Why would I want to close my pore? No, I'm not doing that. That was kind of like the Toradol shots, Brent. Everybody would line up for Toradol shots, which is painkillers. Yes. And I'm like, no, I want to feel it if I get hurt. I'm not getting that daggum shot. But yeah, I thought interesting tactic to try to come out there and look tough. Some sloppy bodies, by the way, some really sloppy bodies too. We need our best looking guys to go out there shirtless.
Yes.
Like,
put the off the bus guys.
Yes. The great looking guys. They might not play, but you don't know who their number is anyways. They're like freaking jacked out of their mind.
But the other part is the Tennessee or Ohio State just looked so much faster. That was the thing that, to me, watching the game, like, obviously Henderson and Smith are different level of speed, but they looked even more different level of speed in this game. And it was, hey, we're just going to let our fast guys go side to side and then outrun you. They couldn't cover the running backs. They got the ball to the running backs in the passing game early. Henderson was.
Well, and that's Tennessee's weakness. That's Tennessee's weakness. Tennessee's weakness is their linebacker play with the injuries and their safety play. Like, I think they're really good at corner, but that's where Georgia exposed them. And Tennessee's defense definitely leaked oil down the stretch. Like, they were bludgeoning people early, but I think the injuries did get a hold of them. Speaking of injuries, by the way, like, Samson changed the game.
No, too. Samson. Yeah,
I mean, like, listen, Ohio State is clearly better. Don't get it twisted, Ohio State fans. I'm not saying that Tennessee would have won, but that is by far the engine that makes everything go. And listen, Heupel did a good job, because when Samson wasn't getting carries, I was like, what the heck? Why is he not getting carries like that? Because he makes yardage when it's not there consistently with his vision, with his physicality, with his speed. Like, he's always falling forward, making it happen. And then what happened, Brent? It was a complete shift in philosophy. Nico has 13 carries in the first half. He had 12 against Georgia, and that was by far the most carries he had in the game. So literally, and you don't want your quarterback taking all those hits, man, especially a guy 6'6", kind of slightly built, who's already had a concussion this year. Like, that's a tough deal to ask, but he kept sticking his nose in there, and his competitive spirit, I appreciated. I loved the way he fought, man.
His heart was keeping them in the game. Like, otherwise, it would have been even uglier, even earlier. With the scrambles and things that he did. But it's fascinating how in all of these games, though, the road team had a chance to make plays early in games and just whiffed on making the plays. Because, like, SMU, we already talked about SMU, they had the fourth down. Either go get the first down, Jennings, or throw the touchdown. Indiana last night, get the early pick, and then you turn right around and throw another pick.
Throw one.
In this game. The face mask was huge. And then the second play, by the way, if Igbuka doesn't one hand touch that thing, that's an interception. That's right in the safety's chest. He makes
and the touchdown to Smith was a great defensive play that was caught. And then the throw to Igbuka down the middle for the second touchdown, that was great coverage. Like,
the face mask was a big thing. You're off the field on third down. Like, and okay, first drive, you know, your fans are there like crazy, off field on first down, get some confidence. It doesn't likely change the outcome, but it at least changes how long the game is competitive, I think, a little bit. So that's the home field advantage played big time in all of these matchups.
What's crazy is Nico got his first completion in the second quarter with like 9:30 left. Like, how does that happen? Like, Josh Heupel is a quarterback whisperer, a quarterback guru. Like, remember, NIL, they paid Nico a lot of money to get him there. And there's a reason why. You can see it. He's a 6'6" stud. I got to trust him more than they have. Like, they haven't trusted him all year, Brent. Like, they very much built it around defense and running game, because I think that was the way they knew they had to win. You haven't seen Tennessee speed it up like they have in years past. Like, he wasn't ready for it yet. Interesting to see an offseason with Nico. Portal additions for Tennessee. To me, offensive line has to get better, and they receiver. Need a guy out wide. They need a guy out wide that can win, because when I'm giving you all that space and you can't win, that's a problem. Like, they need some guys that can absolutely scoot and go, and then that offense becomes extremely, you know, difficult to stop. But the defense of Ohio State, too, by the way, that was freaking fantastic. But go ahead.
Shut it down. Well, two things with that. Heupel has to evolve. He has to, because he's against some of these teams, a la Georgia, now Ohio State, that have a good enough athletes to clamp them down on the outside with, and then still stop the run game. Like, there were times when Ohio State was a four-man down front, and their backers were 5-6 yards deep, 7 yards deep, way off, like almost like it was a four-man box. And they were daring Tennessee to run, and they couldn't. And, you know, you have to be able to, and with Nico's movement skills, you got to use it.
But they chose not to a lot of the times too, which I that's the part that I think you probably get frustrated with the most. Like, when you have that kind of number, I mean, they Kirk kept talking about it. Like, look at the numbers in the box. Like, in no world, and this is what we talked about this the other night, Brent. Like, that's literally just players now. And here's the thing. I don't have to block them up that much because I have a QB that can run and I have a running back next to me. Like, they tried speed option. That failed miserably. But I do think they've got to do a better job. But Samson, that was crazy that he wasn't there. And then Tennessee's defense they got destroyed. They got absolutely destroyed. Ohio State's defense, though, like, dude, they were awesome. They were so good, not giving up big plays. They had a plan.
Exactly what it needed to be.
Dude, the tempo was really, really good. You didn't see – a lot of times with Tennessee's offense, you see guys running free because of all the space. And they were locked and loaded. Listen, you know what's really good is when you've got a coordinator that you hired from the Big 12 that have seen all these offenses, man. Like, very familiar. And then you couple that with multiple weeks to prepare. I thought they were absolutely dialed in. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because Sawyer and Tiamafu, number 44, like, I always watch them, Brent, and I think they're good players. But I never watch them and think they have, like, elite get-off and elite traits. But, like, Sawyer's a dog. I mean, he's a ball player. And they have a bunch of really, really, really good football players. Ransom, number 8, is a baller. Like, that dude is a baller. Their cornerbacks is the part we talked about being their weakness. Has been handsy all year long, right? Like, they've given up some big plays. They held up more than fine in the back end too, which
Tennessee couldn't,
which can't happen. Tennessee's got to take advantage.
And Caleb Downs is also the biggest sort of freak show in that, at that position that you have. But now we get the rematch. You get Oregon, who has to play maybe the most talented roster in the country, other than them and a couple others. Like, in that round, that's kind of not good for them, but still, you've at least played them, so you've at least prepared, and
it's almost beat them. Something. I mean, Ohio State also almost beat them.
Yes,
Ohio State. You could say ran out of time. Like, they basically ran out of time, and they got Lanninged, which I think that's a new phrase that you got to use.
It's the opposite of what you talked about, though, with in terms of blowouts. I don't see that game one bit being one sided. That's going to be a back and forth, like, heavyweight fight between those two rosters and those two teams. And you especially when you're going to get the best version of Ohio State.
Do you think it's two blowouts, though, next week?
Two out of the four?
Yeah.
I almost want to say three out of the four.
Three out of four? So
double digit, I could say, like, define blowout. If you went double digit, like, I'd say three out of the four might be double digit games.
Yeah, we should do the spread game. Do you have the spread again? Do you have the spreads?
Oh, looking ahead.
I know you can find that. Yeah, you can find that really, really quickly. It'd be interesting to.
My guess is Ohio State might even be favored.
They were last time at Eugene.
Yes.
But I think because they already played, remember, those spreads don't exist to really tell you who they think's better. They're trying to get your money, which I don't gamble. I'm not a gambler. Do you have them yet, though?
I did. The only one that I've seen is Georgia's a 1-point favorite.
I want to guess, you turd. Don't be telling me stuff.
My bad. Golly. Okay, I did get them. I did get them. Sorry. Go ahead. So Ohio State, Oregon.
Georgia 1.5-point favorite. Nailed it.
Well, yep. Actually 1.5 now. 1.5.
Yeah, killed that one.
Okay. So Ohio State, Oregon.
Oregon minus -1.
Flip it.
Ohio State minus -1.
Ohio State minus
-1. Ohio State again the favorite against Oregon, which is
as the 8 versus the 1 seed.
We've seen
that sucks for Lanning. That's just not right. But anyway. Texas, Arizona State.
Oh, this is Clemson, they were favored by 13 and a half over Clemson. I bet you it's 17.
14.
14.
And then Penn State, Boise State.
It's at least a touchdown. I'll go 7.5. I want to 10.5.
10.5.
Yeah, and that's the game that, like, Boise, we'll learn about, because Boise obviously is, we're going to say, similar to SMU, right? Like, I think that's, you're going to immediately go, didn't play a great schedule, similar to SMU. I'll say this, I think Boise State's system is more, obviously, pro style. More now, they do a great job with their screen game, and their tight end Mattson's really, really good. Their quarterback's Mad Dog, their quarterback is really good, really competitive. He can run, which I think he's got enough mobility to do that. They got tight ends, they've got a good system that can. And then guess what, man? We get to see Genty against a great team, and that's exciting to me. Like, I'm super excited to see that, because Oregon had a lot of success against Penn State, but they also spread you out and make you play, you know, they make you cover Tez and Stewart and Ferguson. Like, and Sadiq, like, it's a hard deal. That's crazy though. That's absolutely the games will be hopefully better next week, but the spreads don't tell you that, Brent.
No, they don't. The spreads say 2 out of 4. So, we'll see. All right. So, given that, let's we've seen all these round one games. What are the what's the points of learning? I guess, or where do things get better? How do you get fix it? No, not fixing is the wrong word, but what needs to change, or what after looking at this round one stuff?
Oh, the system, the 12-12 system. Yeah, we got to seed them. We got to seed these teams, and then you give the bye to the best teams. Like, that's not you don't deserve to get a bye because you played in a conference and you won it. Like, that's, but here's the problem. Okay, just because this weekend happened doesn't mean SMU didn't deserve to be in the playoff. I know there's people out there that's going to be pissed off, and that's what I realize, Brent, every year at this time, and I always forget until it comes back around. It's the yearly. This team sucked. They didn't deserve to be in the playoff. Why are they in the playoff? What a joke. Every year, like, rinse and repeat, all the people that are upset. This year it's Bama fans. It's South Carolina. It's Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin is stirring up the pot like a mug, which, again, I'm all for pettiness. I'm all for stirring it up. I have no problem with any of that stuff. That is your prerogative.
Did you see Joe Klatt, by the way?
No, what'd he say?
I got to find that one. You make your point. I'll find that.
I don't even know where I was at. But anyways, I'd reseed them. I would start at the top, and the best team should get the bye. And then after we've reseeded them now, the brackets would be balanced out, not like it is now. Like, the teams would be way more balanced, and the road would not be as crazy for – because we said it when the bracket came out. I'm like, is Georgia the one seed or Oregon? Because – I think Georgia's draw is much better. I'd much rather be I think Ohio State is really, really good. And by the way, that's something I learned this weekend. When Ohio State wants to play and when they're physical, they can beat the crap out of anybody in this tournament. Because we've talked about it. They're better across the board. Position by position, they're better than everybody. Their offensive line has been holding them back. That's been the one thing. Tonight, they were physical. They were on point. They were pissed off. They were upset. Dude, play with that chip. And that's Ryan Day's job, right? Like, his job is to get them to play with that chip and to tell them how much they suck. Now, here's what helps. When you had a couple weeks and then that loss to stew on and everybody talking about how inconsistent you are, now you get the opposite. Now it's Ohio State's the best team in the country. You saw what they did. Ohio State's immediately favored. Like, this is when the coaching job gets harder, right? Yeah.
Recency, there's some recency bias to all of this. Very, very much so. I do think we're going to find out one we know already. Home field matters, like, in the biggest way. But in terms of recency, or in terms of tweaks, these next, like, Oregon should be playing them at home. All right, there's the tweet.
Oh, wow. Shots fired.
I mean, that's pretty good. Both of them,
Lane,
by the way.
I would say that Lane is an elite tweeter.
Yes,
Lane
he is
elite at trolling, knowing what to say, like taking shots, having fun. Like he definitely looks at it as he doesn't take it too seriously. No, and he'll probably laugh at what Joel said. I wouldn't say that to somebody. I think it's rude, but
but anyway, I think Oregon should be playing at home. By the way,
all the games should be at home. All the next rounds should be at home. That's another tweak. I'm right there with you.
The semis and the championship. You want to put those in neutral sites? Fine. All right. Here's the other thing that I learned this weekend.
What'd you learn?
No one hates the cold more than punters and kickers. It was an absolute struggle bus. For the punting was awful everywhere all weekend.
Yeah. And the fourth down conversions, or the fourth down go for it across the 50 now goes up. The throw game when it's really cold suffers too. The hits aren't as hard. There's a lot of things that cold brings out, man. That's not a lot of fun. But so Brent attended UGA and is not a UGA fan, only a West Virginia fan. What is that, Brent?
I'm from West Virginia, and I grew up rooting for West Virginia, and I just happened to go to graduate school at UGA. I am a doctor, not a real doctor, but a doctor. like Ross on Friends.
He stayed at a Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah. So, but no, the PhD in my Twitter account is a real thing. I am actually a professor by day. So for those that want to learn, but no. Yeah. All right. So conference wise, none of it, like you look at, say, the argument for, hey, SMU had 11 wins and played in the conference championship game. They lost the only teams they played. Texas was kind of in that same boat, and Texas did just fine.
Texas had no ranked 10 wins on the season. That was a big knock if you were following all the everybody getting upset and getting, and that's what sucks about this process, Brent. But that's what it's always going to continue to be, because you always have to use your eyeballs. Like, you're going to have to use strength of schedule some, but you're also going to have to use your eyes. Like, ranked wins matter, yeah, but you're also going to have to see close games with good opponents, and there is going to be subjective to it, and that's what stinks. But no, Texas definitely proved themselves. I don't think anybody's surprised. I think they knew Texas was pretty good, but I don't know. I don't know if they, if you were saying deserving of the highest seed that they got, they might have deserved a lower seed. But if you had to do it again, would you? Here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you're asking me the question, Brent, do I think Alabama would be more competitive against Penn State? Yes, I do. I think they would be. I absolutely. Especially do I think Ole Miss would be more competitive than Clemson? Yes, I do. I mean, I absolutely do. But that's not the name of the game. That's not how this works. Just because one can play at their best and be at their best and give them a better game, that's not the way it works. Your whole body of work is going to be taken into account. And obviously with Ole Miss losing three games, losing to Kentucky, that's a big deal. Alabama getting stomped out by Oklahoma. Like, you're down 24-3 in the third quarter to Oklahoma. Those matter. So I agree. Yes, there could have been some competitive games and there could have been some teams we put in there. But there's also some teams in there that laid eggs throughout the season that you don't know what they're going to get either in the playoffs, and you still could have a blowout, and something like this could still happen.
Yep. All spot on. All right, so let's look at the matchup. Finish up with this. We'll look at the matchups. What do you trust in the matchup? And we'll go Texas, Arizona State. Like, I would trust Texas's defense. I trust Texas to run the football. I think the 14-point spread is probably about exactly right, honestly.
Yeah. Well, and if both teams want to run the football like crazy, how much does that game get shortened to? You know, do you look up and that game is a couple possessions in and you get to the – but I do think there's plays to be made in the secondary versus Arizona State. But, no, I definitely – I trust Texas' defense, but Klubnik did do some work against Texas' defense, which was really, really impressive. What's the next game? I'll tell you what I trust.
All right, Ohio State, Oregon.
Dylan Gabriel. I absolutely trust Dylan Gabriel in a big moment. He played lights out against Ohio State last time. But here's the thing with Ohio State. They got no points on fourth down inside the five one time. I thought Oregon was shaky to start that game. Burch was out, the pass rusher. Remember, he got hurt before that football game. So I think that helps too. But I absolutely know exactly what I'm going to get from Dylan Gabriel.
By the way, Rose Bowl, traditional, in essence, Pac-12, Big Ten matchup. They're happy. They're pleased as punch. The biggest game is
pretty
theirs.
Dope.
Penn State, Boise State.
Oof.
I only got one thing that I know I trust in this game.
Penn State's defensive front seven?
I don't even know that I go there. I'd say Ty Warren is going to be insanely hard to tackle. They're going to find ways to get him the ball, and he's just going to be – and the comparison of the athletes and the strength and all the things, he's just going to be – he might drag three guys every time he gets the ball.
I don't think Ginty's going to be easy to tackle either.
No, I don't.
Ginty with some time off to get healthy, some time to game plan, man, this could be a cool moment for everybody that voted for the Heisman for them to go, I might have missed this. Like, this kid might have actually been the best because he did it versus Oregon, having another opportunity here, against Penn State, good defense coming off of a good game. So I think arrested Ginty, I trust to have a great game.
Last but not least, Sugar Bowl, Georgia, Notre Dame, the nightcap that night.
I think I trust both defenses. I trust Georgia's defense. Georgia's defense is not going to get you have to have a multiples of a recipe to beat their defense. Yes, they have the mobile quarterback, but without the aerial attack, down the field passing attack, Georgia's a tough nut to crack, man, because they've got dudes along that front seven that are going to be extremely tough to block. I absolutely trust their defense. I trust Notre Dame's defense as well, but it's a little bit of the hat game because I'm not sure they know what's coming with Gunner and what to be really ready for. But I guess the most I trust in that game is I trust Georgia's defense the most.
Yep.
You too?
That's our matchup. That's the matchups. I mean, I agree. I trust Notre Dame's going to blitz and play man. That's about it. I know they're going to find ways to bring pressure and go play man-to-man behind because they play it more than anybody in the country. By the way, I will ask – I'll be sure to ask Santa for you next year to get competitive first-round games because you said all you wanted for Christmas was good first-round playoff games.
After the first three, I'm like, please, I just want one good game tonight. Like, this would be awesome to have one good game. And no.
Didn't happen. No. Oh, well. Good. Oh, we did watch a lot of football.
You got a lot of football. I got fatter. I ate some food.
Did your fantasy team actually get any run today? Because you're still in the fantasy playoffs.
I had Lamar. I had Nico Collins. We had a couple. I had Travis Kelce. We had a couple guys. Had a field goal kicker. So I think I'm gonna win my semifinal game against Coach Brad Williams and Nicholas Pollock. So I think. Probably going to go 2-0 in those, which is fantastic. And then, when are we coming back next week, man? We're going to go Tuesday? We're going to jump back on Tuesday?
On Christmas Eve?
Is that Christmas Eve?
Tuesday.
Dang! Christmas Eve, baby. Hey, Merry Christmas. It's
Christmas.
Jeez, right around the corner. I hope y'all need to make sure y'all get out and watch some movies. Red Dawn was solid, by the way. I think that new one with The Rock, I think it's called Red Dawn. Is it called Red Dawn?
Red One. Red One.
Red One. Red One was solid, but Christmas Vacation needs to go down. Home Alone needs to go down. Elf needs to go down. Best Christmas movies there are. I just named them.
Underrated Christmas movie, This Christmas, with Chris Brown and all of his and those people in the family there, that the singing and the fun relationships in that movie. Very underrated Christmas movie, but. Anyway,
well, I know your wife Deanna's had Hallmark on all month for actually she has Hallmark on year round, but I know the Christmas.
It's been Christmas movies. It's mainly been Christmas movies for the most part. Like Home, I've seen Home Alone and Home Alone 2 already probably 10 times in the last two weeks. But hey,
well,
maybe after Christmas we will be back to preview all these games.
Preview all these games, and we hope there will be better games. We hope you guys have a great Christmas. Fun talking ball with you guys all year long. Really cool. We've grown a lot throughout the year. We appreciate you guys jumping on board, watching the videos, and we'll keep having fun, and we'll finish this thing off with more competitive games because we're going to finish this thing with some really, really good games that will be fun to cover. But for Brent Rollins, we are out, dude. See y'all. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.